Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we have been talking on this broadcast today, we've called it Even So Come Quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe that we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the perilous day that we live in. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it tells us that perilous times shall come, and they're here. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, deadly, and we're watching that. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you going to do? What do we do as a people when in the very near future you'll find much of the grocery store shelves will be empty? Yes, I'm saying that because of the distribution scenario of what is happening with Russia and Ukraine today, with what is taking place as a result of the COVID, cloud that's over all of America and around the world, where truckers are not able to deliver goods because of the COVID requirements of the jab or not are saying they cannot enter the ports, etc. All of this is playing into a very, very, very serious tipping point for America and for the world. What would you do if tomorrow you could not buy groceries? What would you do if tomorrow Russia's response to America, Russia could shut the internet off, Russia could, with an EMP, absolutely stall, stop, and destroy anything that's called electronics in America? What would you do if you could not crank your car in the morning? What would you do if you could not buy gas tomorrow? What would you do if all of these things that are on the horizon were to take place? And don't think somehow this is a ten-horn conspiracy theory. This is very real potentiality. And I believe it's time Christians look at the reality through the prism of the Word of God and ask the question, what will we do? How should we then live? How should we then respond? I'm looking at an article that says Russia's response to Biden's sanctions claim American citizens will feel the consequences. Russia's ambassador to the United States responded to the White House sanctions in response to Russia's recent decision to recognize 2 eastern Ukrainian regions and claimed that Americans would be punished. In a speech on Tuesday, Joe Biden said that he would sanction 2 state-owned banks, including one that services the Russian military, as well as elites close to the Russian president. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't do either. He said on Tuesday he was going to do that. He did not freeze any bank accounts for Russians or for the Russian oligarchs or the elitists. He didn't do anything, ladies and gentlemen, to stop the Russians from continuing with their military funding, if you please, to continue to destroy the nation of independent nation of Ukraine. This goes on to say the Russian President Vladimir Putin and the country's sovereign debt. Earlier, Russian Chancellor said that the country would suspend in its agreement with Russia to use the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. In a social media post, said the U.S. sanctions cannot solve a thing. Quote, it's hard to imagine there's a person in Washington who expects Russia to revise its foreign policy under a threat of restrictions. I don't remember a single day when our country lived without any restrictions from the Western world. We have learned to work in such conditions and not only to survive, but also to develop our state. The Russians are laughing at Joe Biden. The Russians are laughing at the Western world and what we say, because Joe Biden had said, as you recall, a number of times he said something about he'd take Donald Trump out behind a barn and get a chain to him. He said that Putin was afraid of him. Ladies and gentlemen, Putin's laughing at Joe Biden in the White House today. This article says, in comments to state-run Russian media, the head of speaking for Russia claimed that the sanctions would strongly hit the financial globe and a entire energy market, and the ordinary citizen in the Western world, Western hemisphere, will feel the consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not idle talk. That's reality of where we're going. Amen. So the question is, how should we then live? The question is, the statement that we need to make, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, when we see these things coming about, what are the recommendations that you glean from Scripture that we need to share with our listeners today that will offer hope and encouragement and enlightenment, not based on what we see in the world conditions, but based on what the Word of God says to us?
Well, the number one thing, Dr. Youngblood, that we need to do as Christians is to keep our focus no matter what, because the Scripture has already forewarned us. And I'll just take one verse from Matthew chapter 24, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
It said, all these are the beginnings of sorrows.
Yes.
All these things. When we hear of the wars, the rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places, famines, pestilence, we are not supposed to be fearful.
That's right.
Or live life in fear, because the Word is already telling us what's going to happen.
That's right.
Prior to these events happening.
You
so
got it.
Now that we see them right before our eyes, no one understands that we have already read that in God's Word.
Yes. God's already said it, and that settles it.
Amen. Amen. So then, when we go to St. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 32. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning.
Mm-hmm.
That means gird up your mind.
That's right.
Gird up your thoughts.
Be strengthened.
Know and understand that still yet, regardless to what we're seeing, God is still in control. And he said, and ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be living life that we are waiting for Jesus to return.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what the Scripture is telling us.
We need to be looking forward.
Know and understand that he's not leaving us alone here to suffer.
Amen.
No matter what we are going through, we've still got to understand that our deliverance comes through suffering.
Yes.
We might have to go through some things.
Yes.
But God is still in control. Help is on the way. Don't panic. Don't give up.
That's right.
No matter what,
amen.
Hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Amen.
Amen.
And pastors, we admonish our listeners with that thought. I need to just tuck in a little what I would call a parenthetical footnote about what we're dealing with when it comes to Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, Russia and China are the two major players in the last days in this old world. Russia is now coming to the forefront. China is now coming to the forefront. And if Russia is successful, and they thus far have been, if they're successful with going in and dominating Ukraine and slaughtering its people, then China is going to take that as a signal to go in to take conquest over Taiwan. But I want us to understand Taiwan's got a bad, bad, bad military force, especially their Air Force. So China may be taking on something that's big, big, big. And I contend if China follows through with what they see Putin doing in their attempt to dominate Taiwan, we could very easily watch the Third World War. We could very easily, I'm not saying this is a scare tactic. I'm saying all of these things are on the horizon based on the study of God's Word. And I think many times we forget what Russia is like and what China is like. Let me just read to you a little short biographical sketch, if you will, of what Russia is. Some interesting facts, as I call it, about Russia. 1/6 of the world's landmass is Russian. 8.6 million square miles is Russia. Over 2 continents, 11 time zones, and over 289 million people. About 85 ethnic groups, many languages, variety of customs, religions. 12 different ethnic groups account for 89% of the population. Listen to this. Russia has 4,500-mile border with China, and China has over 1 billion people in the world today. It was China that bragged in a Reader's Digest magazine in 1965. If I'm not mistaken, going from memory, I believe it was September of 65 issue of Reader's Digest. China bragged about the fact that it had then amassed a 200 million man army. When you study Revelation chapter 9, you will find the China 200 million man army entering into the final forays of the major battles in this old world before Jesus Christ returns. This article, this little brief sketch, I'm calling it about China and Russia. Russian territory today, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Russian territory is larger than China, Europe, and the United States all combined. Russia, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, be used of God for his purpose in getting the attention, in particular the attention of the Jewish people. And God knows how to get a nation's attention. And God knows how to get America's attention. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe through this is just, as Pastor David said a moment ago, just the beginning, just the birth pangs,
amen,
just the starting of what we're seeing that will escalate day by day and month in and month out until Jesus Christ returns. I'm looking at an article here, Pastor, that I believe is one of the key evidences of what God is doing and why. This article entitled, America is Plunging Into an Endemic, E-N-D-E-M-I-C, Endemic Lawless Society. Without personal accountability and personal responsibility, a society plummets into the dark side of humanity. Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And this article is about three or four pages, and it lists the major things that we see happening in America that indicates a lawless society. Across the nation, citizens shoplifted $52 billion in merchandise and goods in 2021. Entire gang units, according to the scripture, in San Francisco smashed and grabbed. Trains moving through the city. Cars and businesses downtown San Francisco suffered hundreds of thousands of dollars in theft. Ironically, the San Francisco City Council voted to allow at least $1,000 in theft not to be prosecuted. That vote unleashed massive crime in the city. Last summer, such lawlessness visited my family, this writer says, as thieves stole my brother Rex's Harley Davidson worth $20,000. He worked his back off in order to buy the bike. They stole $30,000 worth of goods out of Rex's garage in Michigan, population of 500, which while visiting San Francisco in June 2021, I witnessed a smash and grab right across the street from where I was parked. Even the police told me not to leave my car unattended. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that lawlessness permeate society today.
Amen.
And nothing is
Amen.
Being done from the official leadership role out of the Oval Office. As a result of that, that in part is the problem that we're faced with in America. And I believe God's going to use major, major catastrophic shortages of goods, shortages of supplies, and difficulties along with diseases, pestilences, as the Bible calls it, to get America's attention. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, two things. One is, do you realize that Ukraine has a huge reserves of uranium and palladium?
Yes.
I'm sure Mr. Putin would love to get his hands on that. But the other thing, the really big thing is, Dr. Youngblood, I saw where Warren Buffett is bemoaning there's no deals to be made. Is it the wealthy who actually control the politics in the U.S. have got the most rotten bag of fruit of politicians there ever been? And now they're reaping the consequences. You know, Buffett gave the Democratic Party $123 million to do away with the XL pipeline and use his railroad instead. But, Dr. Youngblood, I'm sure not of the mindset and the experience you are, but is that what we're reaping, that the the Zuckerbergs, the Mungers, the Warren Buffetts, this rotten bag of fruit, and they hated Trump because he wasn't that way. But are the rich now going to, you know, it says in Revelations, even I think the wealthy will bemoan the passing of Babylon. But is that the big picture, the wealthy have created this mess?
Well, you're referring to Revelation chapter 18, Babylon is fallen, all the merchants and mercantile and all of those that are making wealth off of the system will bemoan the fact that the system has fallen. And that is a great implication, as you just said, but it's a great implication of at a moment in time, the stock markets around the globe are interlinked by internet. And at the press of a button, one single move will cause the global collapse of the monetary market. And that's what you see in Revelation 18. But going back, yes, it's the wealthy, but let's put it a little more refined. It is the elitist, the wealthy elitist that are dominating society today. Go back and think for a moment, Brother Tom, and for ladies and gentlemen listening. Think for a moment. When we went into the Vietnam War, who put us there? The Democrats. The conflict with Korea that they never did call a war. Who put us there? The Democrats. When you look at Afghanistan, who put us into the Afghanistan pit that was, we were fighting a proxy war against Russia, and we were there for 20-some-odd years, losing thousands upon thousands of lives and maiming hundreds of thousands. And who has put us now in this war with Russia in the Ukraine? Who was it that allowed Russia to dominate Crimea in 2014? None other than Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama, and that's Joe Biden. I believe you're exactly right, because if you go back, if there's any way to go back and check the records, we'd find that even now, this war machine that is in place with the hundreds of billions of dollars worth of weaponry that's already been sent to the Ukraine, and the funds along with that for them to be able to fight the war. And that's all right with me. I don't believe we need to have men with boots on the streets in Ukraine to further destroy our manpower in America. Our military is already decimated enough through the Biden movement to destroy the military. But amen. I don't believe we need to do that. But I believe supporting them is the right thing to do. But the point that I make is, behind the scenes, Hunter Biden and the Biden family cabal, I'm sure, are reaping millions of dollars as a result of the hundreds of billions of dollars worth of supplies that's been sent to the Ukraine. So you're exactly right. It's the Warren Buffetts. It's the what is his name? Zuckerberg. It's the George Soros. In fact, George Soros is heavily invested in the the monetary market in Ukraine. And I believe Soros is now rejoicing that he's watching the Ukrainian economy collapse so that he can scoop it up and make hundreds of millions of dollars off of it. So you're exactly right. It is the elitist, the globalists, that want to see a global economy that's laughing every time they put America and other nations into battle so that they can reap the rewards from it. You're exactly right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. As we look at the negative implications of what's happening, we need to look at the positive future of what God is doing through it. And as Christians, we need to look up, lift up our heads in the realization that our redemption is drawing nigh.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we must pray. I believe we must realize that God is on the throne. I believe as a 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says that we need to pray, we need to seek God's face. We need to seeking God's face means to seek to please God. That's what it means, seeking God's face.
Amen.
We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to confess our sins and ask God to heal our land. Pastor Davis, without that, we're hopeless.
Amen. Amen. You know, we have been in sin for just a little bit too long.
Yes.
I never thought that there would be a time when so many would be standing against prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the harm is in praying.
That's right.
In fact, the Bible tells us that man ought to always pray and not to faint.
Absolutely.
We need to pray over the small things as well as the great.
Yes.
But for some reason, Dr. Youngblood, I guess because God's name is attached to it, and that's a part of the Antichrist, I guess, agenda.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about things pertaining to Christ and the church, there is so much animosity involved.
Yes.
Now, as I said on another broadcast, when we were talking about how they celebrate Halloween,
mm-hmm.
my soul is vexed at that time of year to see how they glorify evil.
That's right.
But I don't ever jump up in their faces and go to bickering and complaining and walking around with a picket sign saying, you need to stop doing what you're doing.
That's right.
But let us get together.
That's right.
As somewhere Christians. On a street corner anywhere and start praying with somebody out there whose soul is lost and watch and see how many people will walk by us and start complaining and saying that we are violating their civil rights. We are violating their freedoms. All these different things like that because, simply because they are against us because we wear Christ's name.
Yes, and you said that touched a thought in my mind because it's not just those that reject and resent it and say that we're violating their rights with what we're saying on a street corner as you illustrated in praying, et cetera, but we're watching the fast track. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not the prophet of doom, but I believe that we're headed on the fast track today for martial law in the United States of America. I believe Joe Biden, because I know Joe Biden was in constant contact with Trudeau in Canada when he instituted the martial law in Canada and was able to simply control everybody's movement, everybody's speech, and even on the street corner, people that were not involved in anything that was wrong as the government saw it, yet they were locked up, their bank accounts frozen, and funds or vehicles taken as a result of it. We're watching the fast track for that when all of these things start to come together and the tipping point happens. I believe my most humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I believe that before the November election of this year, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of June, July, August, we're going to see some major catastrophic decisions made out of the Oval Office in order to try to overthrow the election or to prevent the election or to consider winning the election for the left-wing lunatics, as I call them, that'll be running for the House and Senate offices. I believe that we'll see that take place. Joe Biden's entourage has already talked about through Michelle Obama that they have hundreds of thousands of foot soldiers already on the streets to make sure they win the election. Joe Biden's already said that we need to, he's already pleaded in the courts in the state of Georgia where they're wanting to reveal the findings of the Dominion software and the Dominion hardware and what took place in the 2020 election. He's pleading in the courts through the DOJ to not allow that information to become public. Why would he be concerned about that? Because he knows the background that the election was stolen. But ladies Amen. And gentlemen, as Christians, when we see these things coming together and taking place, we ought not to be surprised. We ought not to be shocked. We ought not to be worried. We need to continue to watch. We need to continue to wait. We need to continue to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in this time. We need to defend the truth. I'm amazed as I watch the Ukrainian battle, as they battle for their freedom, willing to die for their freedom. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, they stand alone with no other nation helping them. No other armies are fighting for the people of the Ukraine. The Biden administration continues to backpedal, continues to give a lot of rhetoric with no substance whatsoever. We keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before and I'll say again, at the risk of redundancy, we're watching the coming together, the unification of China and Russia. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that China and Russia have already had a unity agreement that they're going to stand with each other and battle for each other regardless of what each of the other would do? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that Russia, Vladimir Putin just had a major, major conference with the Ayatollah and Iran to come to an agreement to provide Iran with the cover and the safety for the continuing development of their nuclear weapons? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe Biden has been licking the boots and pleading with the Iranian Ayatollahs and leaders to go back into the failed 2015 nuclear agreement that they received hundreds of billions of dollars for, that they had been paid out of taxpayer dollars, that when Donald Trump came in office, he canceled that agreement. Joe Biden is salivating, ladies and gentlemen, wanting Iran to have the nuclear weapon so that it will be a deterrent for anything that Israel would do. Right at this moment, Israel is on high alert with its military, with its Air Force, going into training process to make sure they're ready and alert when something takes place. They know what's happening. They see what is taking place. They don't see it from a biblical perspective, but they know exactly that the nation of Israel is in the crosshairs of whatever happens on a national, international basis. But ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to recognize it's time for America to wake up. It's time for America to turn back to God. It's time for America to have pastors and preachers and spiritual leaders in the pulpits that will speak the truth and not mamsy-pamsy. Pastor Davis, I'm shocked and concerned along with that shock that supposedly 60,000 churches will be closed in the next year. In our hometown, back in your state, back in Georgia, in our hometown, we just discovered two major churches that for years and years and years were leading in the entire region or cities, the city that they're in, now closed, are closing, and the property up for sale. Churches that were alive and well back in the 60s and 70s are dying today, and it's because so many people today claiming to be saved, claiming to be Christian. Most of them just think they've got their ticket for heaven. They don't have to do anything else. They can sit on the couch and sip the suds while they watch something on the internet that's supposed to be preaching.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, it's time you get out of the pew. It's time you get in the pew, get out of the off the couch and out of the under the bed, hiding and out of the closet. And if you're saved, get back in the churches. Support your local New Testament church. Support your church with tithes and offerings that the church might survive and thrive in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost, dark, and dying society. That's the message. That's the challenge. That's the encouragement for today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize Christians need to continue to serve the Lord. We need to stop as Christians abandoning the church and the churches across the nation. The great failure, I believe, today is the failure to witness for Jesus Christ. Pastor Davis got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. What would be the major challenge you'd want our listeners to understand today, knowing all that's happening on a global basis, all that's happening on a universal basis, all that's taking place on a statewide basis? How should we then live? What's your challenge biblically to our people, our listeners today?
Well, now is the time, Dr. Youngblood, as you always say on the broadcast, to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Absolutely.
We need to understand today that in spite of all that we see, everything that is going on in the world on today, God is not going to allow all of these things to happen and he just stand by idly and not do anything about it.
That's right. He's
when we look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, this is what the word of God says. I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Stand fast in the word of God. No matter what we see, no matter what we think is going on today, no matter how it seems like it's out of control, trust God. Don't trust in another.
Absolutely.
Amen.
In fact, when you look at the 8th chapter of the book of Acts in the 4th verse, after Stephen had been stoned to death, the scripture says they were all scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word.
Amen.
So whatever devastation may happen, we need to still continue to preach the word and preach the word. In
Amen.
Fact, in Hebrews 13:9, the scripture says, be not carried away with every diverse and strange doctrine. We need to stand on the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, and stand for truth, live for truth, and defend the truth even to death. Thank
Amen.
You so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen. Be blessed.
Invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.